Picture a business traveler sitting in first class, exhausted despite the luxury, suddenly realizing, if I'm here because of how many miles I've flown, my life is completely out of balance. This moment of clarity came to Molly West Duffy in December 2018, but it could happen to any of us. We live in a world that glorifies busyness, pathologizes discomfort, and insists we should always be okay. Yet most of us spend significant time wrestling with feelings that seem too big to handle, uncertainty that keeps us awake at night, comparisons that make us feel inadequate, anger we're afraid to express, burnout we can't shake, perfectionism that paralyzes us, despair that swallows us whole, and regrets that haunt our quiet moments. Here's the truth no one wants to admit. These big feelings aren't abnormal. They're profoundly human. And learning to navigate them isn't about thinking your way out or pushing through. It's about understanding what these emotions are trying to tell you. Uncertainty tortures us through lack of control. Counterintuitively, our anxiety correlates poorly with actual danger. Studies show people pay similar amounts to avoid 99% versus 1% chances of pain. Those with 50% chance of electric shock experience 3 times more stress than those with 90% certainty. This explains staying in soul-crushing jobs rather than leaping into the unknown. When Liz Foslian developed debilitating headaches, uncertainty consumed her. Shuttled between specialists with severe side effects, fury finally propelled action. She meticulously tracked everything, schedule, moods, triggers, then made lifestyle changes. Though not cured, she learned to manage by building footholds of control in uncertain terrain. Learning comfort with uncertainty means accepting incomplete answers while adopting a growth mindset. I am learning to. Convert vague anxiety into specific fears, separating controllable from uncontrollable. For controllable fears, create actionable questions. For others, establish worry boundaries. Try noting, one-word emotion labels, or scheduled worry time. We spend 10% of daily thoughts comparing ourselves to others. Even monkeys compare food. Social media intensifies this hardwired tendency. Achieving goals doesn't end comparison either. Law graduates who dreamed of passing the bar soon compare themselves to peers at prestigious firms. This new level, new devil phenomenon means targets constantly move. Yet visceral envy reveals what you truly value. When Gretchen Rubin felt overwhelming jealousy toward a law school alum turned writer, this reaction exposed her suppressed desire to write books, changing her career trajectory. When envy strikes, ask, what specifically triggers it? What void would this fill? Do I genuinely want it or just think I should? Psychologists distinguish benign envy, admiration motivating improvement, from malicious envy, resentment breeding hostility. The difference stems from perceived scarcity. Viewing others' success as possibility rather than limited resources transforms envy from corrosive to constructive. Research shows 82% of people make lives appear more glamorous than reality. On bad days, you're vulnerable to upward comparison, obsessively comparing yourself to perceived superiors. When this happens, broaden perspective beyond standouts. If a friend's milestone makes you feel behind, consider 10 or 20 friends. Many share your situation. Don't just envy achievements, consider their full reality. When Liz envied a friend's promotion managing 200 people, she realized she disliked meetings and preferred doing work. Rather than measuring against others, track your own progress. You might not be where you want, but you're not where you were either. Anger is pain's bodyguard. James Averill's 1977 research found that anger, felt by most people several times weekly, is often constructive, sparking creativity, motivating self-advocacy, and enhancing performance. Yet we're taught to suppress it from childhood, especially girls told rage is unfeminine. This is harmful because anger serves as evolution's alarm system, signaling, do something about this. Perception of anger is heavily biased. Studies show male faces appear angrier than female faces, despite women reporting higher anger levels. Racial stereotypes create harsher consequences. Black students receive stricter punishments for identical behaviors. Destruction therapy, punching bags or smashing objects, actually escalates anger rather than diminishing it. Research shows doing nothing is more effective. Chronic stress rewires your brain's rage circuits, making you snap at minor provocations. Understanding your anger expression is crucial. Suppressors risk anxiety and depression. Projectors express aggressively. Try TIP technique, temperature, intense exercise, paced breathing, progressive muscle relaxation to cool down. Transformers productively resolve anger by recognizing deeper needs. To uncover what's driving your anger, write an unsent letter asking, "What triggered this? What feelings lie underneath? What do I need?" When channeled effectively, anger provides energy for positive change, personally and societally, as movements like Me Too demonstrate. Burnout isn't just overwork. It's about our narratives and approach to life. Recognized as a diagnosable U.S. condition in 2019, over 70% of employees experienced it in 2020. At its core, burnout stems from capitalist pressure to maximize productivity for financial security. Burnout feels sudden because adrenaline masks running on empty. Warning signs include overstimulation from simple tasks, cutting self-care, Sunday scaries on Saturday, saying yes at capacity, constant irritation, fantasizing about illness for rest, and revenge bedtime procrastination, staying up late to reclaim personal time. Living at 80% capacity prevents burnout. Practice walking away mid-task. One woman discovered nothing was on fire upon return. Consider the four burners theory: family, friends, health, work. You may need to temporarily turn off one or two. Set boundaries. No one else will. Before committing, ask what you'll gain, sacrifice, and the consequences of refusing. Behind every no is a deeper yes. Allow unstructured downtime. Over 40% of creative ideas emerge when minds wander outside work. Perfectionism creates inadequacy, not excellence. Research shows athletes with perfectionist tendencies perform worse than peers due to excessive concern over mistakes. Contrary to belief, perfectionism stems from low self-esteem and fear of failure, not high standards. Many perfectionists don't recognize themselves because impossible standards make them feel like failures. Key signs include never feeling satisfied, needing external validation, inability to disconnect from work, people-pleasing, chronic exhaustion, and devaluing achievements. The perfectionist paradox means getting stuck on minor mistakes and giving up when things aren't perfect. Beneath perfectionism lies fear of unworthiness, the belief you must earn love through achievement, often rooted in childhood where love was conditional on performance. One reader realized through her father's abuse that perfectionism is a form of self-abuse. Success happens despite perfectionism, not because of it. Research proves self-compassion improves performance. Participants who journaled about self-compassion performed better than those who didn't. Perfectionists set avoidance goals, preventing negatives, rather than approach goals, achieving positives. Instead of avoid looking incompetent, try impress people with compelling storytelling. Embracing good enough means letting go of all or nothing thinking. A 1 mile run beats no run at all. Despair manifests through 7 clinical indicators: hopelessness, low self-esteem, feeling unloved, frequent worry, loneliness, helplessness, and self-pity. Their combination creates unique intensity, a condition increasingly common in America. The dangerous misconception that despair can be remedied through distraction or positive thinking is both ineffective and harmful. Recovery begins by taking despair seriously. Comparing your suffering to others who objectively have it worse only deepens despair by adding guilt. Despair is absolute to the person experiencing it. Finding comfort in knowing that suicidal feelings are widespread and recoverable provides crucial perspective. When despair makes every moment feel endless, chunking time becomes essential, focusing only on getting through what feels doable. The more you're suffering, the smaller the chunks. Self-indulgence in harmless creature comforts, ice cream sundaes, fluffy movies, hot showers provides necessary escape. Regain agency by throwing a single climbing pick into the wall daily. Each morning, choose one small accomplishment: sending a text, taking out trash, putting on deodorant. These mini milestones put you back in the driver's seat. Progress feels like 10 steps backward, one step forward, then two steps back, one forward, before slowly inching upward. Connection with others who truly understand provides judgment-free support you can't find elsewhere. Regret, though painful, serves as a compass for meaningful living. We experience it through different selves: our actual self, who we are now, ideal self, our truest version, or ought self, meeting society's expectations. We often avoid short-term regret, leading to worse long-term outcomes, while status quo bias keeps us in unfulfilling situations. Before moving forward, acknowledge regret's pain. As Cheryl Strayed writes, we must salute our ghost ship, the life we didn't choose, from the shore of the life we did. Regrets fall into six categories: hindsight, alternate self, rushing in, dragging out, ignoring instincts, and self-sabotage. For the first two, distraction and perspective help. For others, deeper analysis changes future behavior. To use regret constructively, transform "I should have" statements into "what-if" questions, pointing toward future action. List what you're grateful for when overwhelmed by if-only scenarios. Big feelings lead to wisdom. Grief informs future choices, envy clarifies values, and despair deepens self-understanding. These emotions can spark post-traumatic growth, emerging from struggle with greater life appreciation, closer relationships, and expanded possibilities.